celebration, and I've got the wedding garments on. Praise the Lord for that. Oh, this sober.
Sometimes we can say pray about someone and nobody prays about it, but we need to pray about it. We need to pray about everything. Amen. And I know you believe that. I know you believe that, but I want to encourage you to pray. And also, some families will be away on holidays. Just pray the Lord will give them a great time. Our sister Suzanne, brother Jeff, and Carl, and the family's going to see Samantha and the family. Just pray the Lord will bless them. Praise God as they go. And keep me in prayer as well. I'm preaching for Brother Jackie again on the 27th of this month, Saturday night. I think I might be giving my testimony. So you pray for us for that service. On the last night I went there, God really done something for two men in the meeting. And the Lord revealed something about them, and they both came to me, and it was exactly right. And just pray God will have his way. Amen. And let's turn tonight to Romans 9. And I just want to talk about the sovereignty of God tonight and the divine potter. Just a few scriptures tonight. I don't want to be very long tonight. Also, for Sunday, that's right. See, I get up here to remember. I don't remember. That's what 50 years of age does for you. But so Sharon's going to do the Sunday school on Sunday morning, the Lord willing. So the children that normally comes, let them come ahead as normal. We're going to just continue on with it. And we appreciate Sister Carol when she's here, does it? And yeah. Sister Suzanne does it when Carl's away. But Suzanne and Carl's both away this time. You're not away? Oh, you're here?
Sunday.
Oh, I thought you were away.
No, next Thursday.
Oh, the following week?
Yeah, next.
All right, and then Sharon's. Oh, maybe you're back.
I'm not back.
No, Suzanne. All right, then. I was texting Sister Ruth to do it. Had this sister and another sister to do it and try and get somebody for to do it. And I'm arranging for the wrong Sunday. I hope you can forgive me for that. Let's read from verse 15 of Romans 9, praise God. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose I have raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? And that's going to be a key verse tonight. Why doth he yet find fault? For who have resisted his will, that's God's will. Nay, but O man, who art thou that thou repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honour and another unto dishonour? What if God, willing to show us wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Even thus whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Let's just bow for a word of prayer again, praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that you are indeed sovereign. And Lord, we are the clay and you are the potter. Help us to yield to your will. And Lord, we want your will, not our will. Lord, help us to walk in the way you want us to walk. Lead and guide us, we pray. And even with the thoughts and the scriptures tonight, may we know the mind of God and the will of God, even in this house. Bless each and every one. Cover us with your blood. Forgive us for every wrong thought, word, and deed. Sanctify us and wash us with the washing of the water of the word and the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we pray. Grant to us the Holy Spirit to help us tonight. Lord, by faith I take the blessed Holy Spirit to help me. And I thank you for it. Bless the meetings that lay ahead and that we've mentioned. Lord, we commit all these things to you and bless your people, even as our brothers already prayed. Bless each one tonight. And Father, for those maybe that couldn't be here because of work or laid aside sick, may you touch them and bless them. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I think this is a tremendous portion of scripture which shows us the divine sovereignty and also the human responsibility. Under the divine sovereignty of God, God is going to do what he's going to do and no man can change it.
Amen.
It's God that knows. We don't know. Now I believe when we're led to pray, or whether God gives us like even a brother Gary said, speak to us from his word or a dream or a vision, that's still a spirit of God to lead us in his way. Many believe that.
Amen.
The Lord does that.
Yes.
But God ultimately knows. We don't know. We can't create an anxious thought. The Bible says we need the Lord's guidance. We need the Lord's leadership, what His will is for our lives. And therefore, that's why we have to continually walk with God and talk with God and read the will of God. And we know the Word of God is the will of God. For New Testament is an Old English word for will. So therefore, if we want to know God's will, we must read the will. Now, we have a responsibility. Even as parents, when we have children, we have a responsibility for them children. And we as Christians have a responsibility to God. So if God gives any of us a desire, whether it's to pray or witness, we have to be responsible to fulfill that, or else God wouldn't give us that desire. God has given us that for a reason and for a purpose, to fulfill His great will and His great plan. Praise God. The fivefold ministry is God's plan and God's will, and not everybody will be in the fivefold ministry, but that doesn't mean they're lesser. Everyone still needs it, whether it's a fivefold ministry or just a brother or a sister. Everyone has a part to play in the great work of God. And we all want to play our part. And there's one thing all of us can do, and that's pray. And we're all called to pray. And the Bible says we're to pray without ceasing. So we have a responsibility. And here it is. This is a delicate balance here. There's scales here. Now there's scales here. Now, just in my mind I'm saying this. There's scales here because you have the sovereignty of God, that He knows what He's going to do. And then you have man. Now don't forget, God gave man a free will.
Amen. Yes.
The Lord does not put your arm up your back and say to you, you're coming to church tonight, or you're going to preach for me, or you're going to pray for 2 hours. God doesn't work like that.
Amen.
He leads His dear children along. Amen. So even though this is like a balancing scale, but ultimately the sovereignty, God's sovereign. But if we are the children of God, and we believe we are, we're not illegitimate, we're sons and daughters. We want to obey God's will. And we want to do God's will. Verse 19. If you look at verse 19. Verse 19 says, what wilt thou say then unto me? Why doth he yet find fault? Or who have resisted his will? Paul here. Paul the apostle here anticipates another reaction of the Jews to this statement. He anticipates it on the will of God. Showing mercy or hardening the heart. He anticipates the reaction, what it's going to be. If God does not according to His will, then why doth He yet find fault? This is the question posed here in verse 19. And none can resist the counsel or the deliberate determination of God. The will of God, and you could, I don't want to go into Greek and Hebrew, I did look at it a bit tonight on this word, on the will of God. God has determined already what He's going to do. God knows what He's going to do. Don't ever think that we're working with some sort of a power or a super force or a being that doesn't know what He's going to do. God knows exactly what He's doing. He is a responsible God. So God's will is predetermined. Everyone that's going to be saved, God knows who they are. We don't. We do not know who they are. That's why it's preached to whosoever. But God ultimately knows everyone that will come. And the Bible says, none have I lost that the Father has given me. That's the words of Jesus. All that the Father has given me will come to me. So the Lord will not lose anyone that's predetermined to be saved. Now there's vessels to destruction and there's vessels to honor. But we don't know them. We can't ultimately go out there. Now, God can show you things, we know that, but lay that aside because we're working with the scales here. And we're sticking with the scripture. We must preach salvation to all. And it's ultimately God, but ultimately God does know who's going to come. He does know who's going to come. And there's ones that will come, and there's ones that won't come, and we know the Word of God says it. None can resist His counsel or His deliberate determination. When God starts to work on a man and starts to work on a woman, that's God that's doing it. The fact that you could be sitting here and you could have felt led to speak to somebody or led to take somebody to service, God led you to do that. You never sit down. You might think, well, I felt to do it. Who gave you the felt?
God, the Holy Spirit, led you to have that response. And through that, God could have used that to bring somebody. But God had predetermined they were going to come. But you were part of the plan that God already had, that He'd use you. Privileged is what we are, really. If God uses any of us for His great work, we're privileged, but it's ultimately God. We cannot receive no glory if a man only seen one person saved and another fellow seen 1,000. The fellow that's seen 1,000 can't jump up on that table there and say, I've seen 1,000 glory to God. He can't do it. Because it's ultimately God. It was God. We know He that winneth souls is wise, but it's ultimately God that's behind it. Now God does predetermine that there's people He's going to reach. You notice there's people you could bring to services and they can hear the gospel and they'll never get saved. Never. And you could go away, and we've all done it, and you say, how did they sit through that? How can they sit through it? Because maybe they'll never come. But another person just needs to hear it once and they'll come. Because it's ultimately what God predetermines. You follow these scriptures, you can look at them if you want. Daniel 4, verse 34. Look what it says. I just want you to get this picture of God predetermining. And at the end of the days, I never lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. Because God took him out of his own understanding, and He made him like a beast of the field. Because God was showing this man, look, I'm God. I'll humble you. I'll bring you down. God done it well. But yet God turned him around and brought him to his senses. And look, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored Him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. God predetermined what He'd do with this man. And if you, God could have somebody chosen that's going to come, but they might think they're not coming. Now, I want you to understand this. They might think they're not coming, but God's going to bring them. Now, they can, like the old preacher used to say, you can come the easy way or the hard way. But really, God's going to get them. And whatever way they're going to come, God's going to bring them. Another fella said, the hounds of heaven went after him and chased him till he comes. Just to think about it when Spurgeon said that. But it's ultimately God. In 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 6 it says this. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven, and rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. Now we can almost worry. Now you might not understand this, but as a preacher, sometimes you get stressed that nobody's getting saved. Now for some people, you might not understand how I can word that or how I feel that. But sometimes you're desperate for people to come, but ultimately God then shows you it's Him that does it. We can't save nobody. I remember the Lord spoke to me about that. And the Lord showed me I can save nobody, but He will save. What He's told me to do is preach the gospel and He'll save. I cannot save nobody. I can witness, I can do all that. But sometimes you can do all that and nothing seems to happen. That doesn't mean you're out of the will of God or the Spirit's not working on you. That doesn't mean that. Noah was in God's will, nobody could save. There's different seasons. You could go through a season for people just to see it. You could go through a season for nobody seems to come. But it's ultimately God that does it. Did you ever have a season where you really feel burdened to pray for somebody and you really feel led that that's God that give you that? It's the Spirit of God. It's ultimately God that's behind it. And when God has chosen somebody, we can't really understand this really. But God in His mind knows everyone that's going to come. And when God's chosen somebody, He's going to bring them. That's why you see people can be in jail or in death row or a prostitute. But if, you see, their names are already in the book. How many knows that? You don't get your name in the book the night you get saved. Your name's already in the book. The Word of God says from the foundation of the world. So God knows from the foundation of the world. Maybe a weak girl, it's a prostitute. She's got into that. It's hard to explain how she got there, but God can save her. A drunkard, a stealer, a robber, whatever, a man even of death row, but God can save that man. That proves the predetermined will of God. That none is he lost that he's going to get. But that doesn't mean we're of a slack. And we're not to do anything. We're called to preach the gospel. We're called to pray. We're called to witness. If we're the children of God, we should automatically do that like a fish automatically swims. That should be part of us. We should have a desire for that. Amen. See, God will carry out his will, his wish, or his desire, or could be said, his deliberate determination. And God, one of the Greek words, that's what it says, that he has a deliberate determination. God has willed he's going to do it, and he's going to do it, and that will stop him. God willed the children of Israel would go over the Red Sea. But you can't tell me Moses already knew before he got there how he's crossing, because he didn't. He just did what God told him. But God knew how they were getting over. Even if Moses didn't, but Moses had to obey God. And God used Moses, but it was ultimately God. You wouldn't say, you know, they did sing to Moses, we know that because he's type of Christ, but ultimately you give God the glory, is that right? And God predetermined. Now listen to this, while we just take a look at this just for a few moments. Now I'm not going to be any more than 5 or 10 minutes or something, not long tonight. See, God predetermined. Now look, when you look at these verse 20. Let's read verse 20. Nay, but O man, what art thou that thou replaced against God? We cannot, as the clay, say to the potter, you know, I'll tell you what, God, I'll do this and you'll do. We can't do that. It's not God that needs to change his will. It's us that need to change ours. God's will is past finding out. It's perfect. It's us that need to get close to God, that our desires change, that our ideas change. God's don't need to change. They're perfect. That's why we need shepherds, evangelists, teachers, prophets, a fivefold ministry, and 9 gifts of the Spirit. And we're going to need them until the Lord comes. Because we're a work in process. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Lord is always working on every one of us. He allows some of us, we think we're down, but actually we're not really. We're no different before God. It's just God bringing us through that to bring us closer to him ultimately. Trials and tribulations. Like the wee song says, he's a God in the valleys and he's still God in the mountain. He's still God. And he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Though I'm with you always, even to the end. The Lord's always with you. So even whatever trial you're going through, and many times I've prayed, I've went away and prayed, and sought God sincerely, and wanted to know an answer for this, and sometimes you don't feel anything comes. Then when you least expect it, God does it. When you least expect it, because God's sovereign. He's absolutely sovereign. Now look at this. O man, who art thou that replaced against God? In response to this Jewish reaction against God's sovereign will, Paul reproves them for answering, for enduring the dispute with God. The Creator arguing with the creature. The real issue is that God can do what he wishes or wills with his own creation to do. So God can do what he wants, but we can't. We can, if we want to, and get out of God's will. But if we want to be in the center of God's will, we have to bend to God's will, not our will. Now sometimes we could bend in line with God's will. But we don't want to be. None of us want to be. Now I'm not saying anybody is here tonight, but I'm just showing you these scriptures. This is for me as well as you. All of us have to be in God's will. All of us want to be in God's will. But we must read the will. And you know, if you seek God, and we believe in this fellowship, and look, don't worry about other fellowships that don't believe this or that. We believe here in spiritual gifts. And we saw before that the Holy Spirit's come down and spoken. And if God, if you're sincere, God could speak to you through a tongue and interpretation or direct prophecy or through one of the brothers preaching, God can do it. God will speak to you if you're really sincere. God can do it. And then you have to know it's God. But the Bible says, His Spirit, our Spirit bears witness with His Spirit that we are the sons of God. There's something in us that you'll know. And the Bible, you know, for Brother Branham talked about an uncertain sound, you'll know it. Well, you know it within, don't you? It's like Big Ian Paisley said one time, he said to the father, get you up there and preach. He used to get them to preach. He'd get them up in the balcony in the church and he'd throw them up and get them to preach. And he'd sit down in the pew and after 5 minutes he'd tell them to stop, keep going. And he'd say after 5 minutes, you knew if they're called or not. He didn't need a here and there. He knew after 5 minutes. Many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. Every one of us wants to be in the center of God's will. God could be moving in you, but you're not 100% sure in what way you're to go. But God can show you clearly. God can clearly show you absolutely clear. But you have to wait in God. Don't rush before God. I'm feeling led to say this tonight. I know for my own self many times. We can have ideas, but God's will can be so different from what we think. But we want God's will. The real issue is that God can do what He right wills and to His own creation. Of course, His attributes show us that His will, that He will not do anything with His creation that would be inconsistent with His moral attitudes. So God won't lead you to do something ridiculous. And He won't bring something upon you that's perverse. God won't do that. That's not God. You hear people saying, God forced me to do something, and that God spoke to me to go and shoot somebody. Nobody's ever heard that. I know that's an extreme way of putting it. But nobody's ever heard, for the claim God spoke to them, we know it was never God, it was the devil. We need to know God's voice. God's voice won't be different from His word. Now God can give us an experience. Now I want to tell you this. God can give you or me an experience. God can give you an experience. God can speak to you in a certain way through a dream or a visitation. But God can speak to you. But you cannot make that a doctrine and preach that to everybody. Now let me take my own experience so that nobody will say, well, he's thinking of me. Forget about that. Don't think that. Let me put it like this. When I was in jail, I heard footsteps coming over the floor and a literal hand touched me. A hand touched me. Now I know it happened. But you might never have had that experience and you don't have to have it. But God done that for me. But I cannot get up in a church and preach to you that you have to hear footsteps and you have to have a hand touch you because there's no scripture for that. But yet God done that for me. God spoke to me like that. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like a fella said to me one time, he said, we're not sealed yet. And I said, is that right, brother? And he said, yes, the angel must seal us. So because I believe I was visited with an angel, I said to him, I'm all right, but you're in trouble. And he didn't like that. He sort of was in shock. But he believed an angel had to come and seal you. But I don't believe that. I believe my Bible says in Ephesians, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Doesn't say an angel come and seal you. It says you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And you know, I've often used the story for the fella said to William Branham, you know, I'm really wanting, you know, a real sign that I have the Holy Spirit and everything. And he was talking about tongues. And Brother Branham said, if you wait in God sincerely and you want tongues, He'll give you them. He will let you speak in tongues. But he says, you remember the other day you're out for a walk and you're praying, and he says, yes. And he says, remember you had a real cool feeling come over you, a funny feeling come over you. And he said, yes, he says, that was the Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah. And you really had the Holy Spirit. That's what he told them. Now you remember he had the gift where he knew the secrets of the heart. Me and you couldn't maybe do that, but he could do it. That was his ministry. And he told that, I don't know if it was a brother or sister, but he told him, you really have the Holy Spirit without all the other things. But if you want them, God will still give you them. Because Paul says you can have them. If you desire them, you can pray for them. Amen. Covet earnestly the best gifts. But that's, God, you could already have it. But because you didn't have that doesn't mean you don't have it. Maybe someone else happened to you, if you really think about it. See, it's like salvation. You cannot get saved unless the Holy Spirit moved you to get saved. Do you know that? So the Holy Spirit already has come to you. Because the Holy Spirit moved in you to get saved. So you've really had an experience where the Holy Spirit moved in you to get saved. All of us have had. Now you can go on and be filled then. We know that. And baptized, we know that. But he's already moved on you. Every one of us. Praise God. And wonderful. But look, shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? And I'll tell you, look, I don't know if you're guilty of it, but many's the time I said, why am I preaching it? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? But God knows why. I don't fully understand it. But I have complained a few times. I'm not honest about it. I know, look, maybe you're saying, well, I've never complained. That's fine. But don't you tell me if your children have never come to you and complained to you about something, because I'll guarantee you they have. Amen. Daddy, I want this or that. And you'd say, no, son, you can't have it. Why not, Daddy? Well, I'll tell you, son, that wouldn't be good for you if you had that. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you might think when you're a certain age it would be, but your parents know, no, you can't have it. So you see, this is the age we're living in. We're living in actually an age where it's against the Bible. What's happening? Because lawlessness is gone. And children are almost controlling the parents. It's all wrong. And they took away the rule where you can take a rod to your child and they'll soon tell you, if you hit me, I'll ring up. And they'll give wee numbers where they ring. Now, maybe there is cases, but it's all over the top. But what about these perversions that's going about and they seem to get off with it? And nothing's done about it. What about that? And isn't it unbelievable when you see the cry over the nation of people that want abortions and things? As a real Christian, we have to be against that. We have to be. We're for life. We're not against it. We're for life. We're against death. Amen. Look, Paul introduces here the figure of the potter and the clay with a quotation from Isaiah 29. Look at this, Isaiah 29, verse 16. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as a potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing formed say of him that formed it, he had no understanding? So if God has led you in a particular work, don't turn around and tell God he made a mistake. God does not make mistakes. So you better get on with it. Amen. You want to try preaching for 27 years. Now listen, preach for over 20 years and then you get a night where you don't want to preach. You could get a night and you don't want to preach. You say, would you ever have a night like that? You get tired. It's like anything. You can get tired of it. You can get tired of studying and all them things. And then when you have a time like that, God still blesses you. Because if God's called you to do it, gifts and calls are without repentance. But all of us need encouragement. Now God could have called you for a work. It's like the wee song Gary likes and sings, and I think it's a wonderful song. I have a work for Jesus. Huh? Jesus has a work for me. And he has for every one of us. So the Lord could have a work for you, but maybe you don't want to do that work. Maybe you're fighting against God to do the work. And then you hear people say, if you don't do the work, God will raise somebody else up to do it. Well, if you read what we've read, God's predetermined what he's going to do. How could you believe that? I hear people, man said to me years ago, the men wouldn't go and preach if God called women. I said, that's absolute nonsense. I said, I don't deny that God could use a woman. I believe he could. I believe that. Amy Sattler McPherson, there's loads of women God's used. But for the hell of doctrine, I'm trying to base it in scripture, that the men wouldn't go and God called women, that's nonsense. That's somebody's own thinking. That's not true. If God can go to the trouble with a man that's in jail and send an angel to him to turn a man like that, God can do anything. Now we're going to get to Paul in a minute. Look at Paul. What if somebody said to Paul, "I but Paul, you wouldn't go"? He wouldn't go. Paul held the coat of those that stoned Stephen, but God was determined that Paul was going to come, and God made him come because he was a chosen vessel. So if somebody tells you God did a certain thing for a certain reason because nobody else would do it, that's not right. I don't believe that. It's ultimately, maybe that person was never going to do it. Maybe you weren't meant to do it anyway. Because if God's called you to do it, you're going to do it. What about Jonah? Well, if we read the story of Jonah, didn't Jonah decide he wasn't for doing it? But how many knows he did it? He done it. But he wasn't going to do it. But yet, with all he done it. Now, God didn't say to Jonah, when Jonah was through over the side, God didn't say to that whale, and how many believe God can speak to his creation? God didn't say to the whale, "Tell you what, you ate Jonah and digest him and vomit him out, in pieces." God didn't say that. I believe God instructed that whale, "You better not do him too much harm in there. You know, just keep him in there if I tell you to get rid of him." That's how I look at it. It's like Daniel in the den of lions. And then he came out, and you see, God brought him round to God's will. He didn't want to go in God's will, but God brought him round to his will because he's chosen to do it. God didn't throw him over, get the fish to eat him, and discard him into the water and never hear him again and say, "Right, I'll tell you what, Jonah didn't do it, so I'll go and pick some other one." You don't read that in the Bible. You read that Jonah done it. But I want to tell you in this meeting tonight, and I believe the Holy Spirit speaking to somebody, God's a work for you and nobody else can do it. You're called to do it. God wants you to do it. Nobody else will do it. And you can bluff and act and do what you want, but God wants you to do it. God wants you to do it. I believe it tonight. I believe the Spirit of God saying that. And you can say, "But I'm not worthy," and make all the excuses you want. Jonah wasn't. Didn't they say to Jonah that the reason of all this trouble is because of me? If you throw me overboard, your trouble will cease, and it did. But it was all God's plan. Look at Isaiah 45 and 9. "Woe unto him that striveth with his maker." Are you striving with God? Well, if you are, you'll not win. I can tell you that right now. You better yield quicker rather than later. Because you cannot win if you're striving with God. Do you think you're stronger than God? You're not. I really read you about Nebuchadnezzar. God made that man down to the grass. And God can do what he wants to do. And we have to say amen to it. Amen. Didn't Job say, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Woe unto the man that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say unto him that fashioned it, "What makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands." So you're going to tell God he's done a bad job. Well, God hasn't done a great job picking me, but he has picked you. So you'd better say, "Thank you, Lord." And somebody else could come along and say, "I'll tell you what, see what he's doing. I could do a better job." But God didn't call you to do it. He called you. So you can't do a better job. "Oh, but I could put it across better. I could do this better." And you could look at all what you could do better. But if you're not called to do it, just leave it alone and do what you're called to do. God makes no mistakes. Now I know they're self-appointed. I know that. We know round the earth, I'm not speaking here, round the earth, universally, there's men and puppets that God never called. We all know that. But the genuine called man of God, God's called him. And the genuinely person that's wanting the will of God, God will give you his best. He'll give you his best. And God will make you know plain, without a doubt, what God has for you. There'll be no question about it, but you must wait in God. What right is the clay to question the potter who is making clay a vessel? No right at all. The potter is the creator and the clay is the created one. However, the analogy here must be taken to the extreme. For the man though created by God and for God, is not shapeless, senseless, willless, lump of clay. But God has given you a will, and God has made you in a certain way. And God's given you a free will. But I can guarantee you, if God's called you to do something, he'd bring you to do it. There's no question about that. Do you think that when I was running about and everything, that I decided one day, tell you what, I'm going to be a preaching trumpet? No! There's a brethren fellow walked across the moor one day, and when I seen him coming, I hid. I did not even want him to talk to me about God. I hid from him. I wanted nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. And even when there was a Bible in the cell, and they wrote on it, and I said, well, that's it. There's no Bible even in here. God can't even talk to me now, because there's not a Bible in here. And you remember, you're taught in the brethren strong that God speaks to you through Scripture, which is right. But also, God can speak to you without a little Bible, supernaturally. Through dreams, visions, or angels, whatever way he wants, because he's God. And I tell you, God, he done it. And there's others in here, you could have been away from God, you could have said to yourself, I'll never come back to God, I'll never serve the Lord again, but the Lord brought you. The Lord brought you. You didn't do it yourself, God brought you. But you had a choice to yield. Now why not yield? Why not yield to them, to the Creator? Verse 21 says, hath not the potter power over the clay, but the same lump to make one vessel on the honor and another on the dishonor? Now I'm gonna come to close. I've said five minutes. And I'm preaching for 20 minutes, I'm sure, maybe more. I'm gonna have to close. But you know, you can read the conversion of Paul in Acts 9, verse 15 down. You can read the conversion of Paul, which was Saul, but got his name changed. See, his man thought he was going to be Saul, but God knew he was going to be Paul. Isn't that true? There's something about a name. There's something about a name. Your name can mean something. God makes no mistakes in anything. How many know parents? God can even tell you what you're going to call a child even before it's born. Do you believe that? That's the Bible. Didn't he say John? Elizabeth, they call his name John. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from the sin. Saul, before he was Paul, was on the road, held the coat of those that stoned Stephen, persecuted the church. Do you think he was saying to himself at that point, I'm going to be a great apostle and a preacher? He wasn't. And he didn't have a rose dandy or what do you call that, a flower bed of ease, as they say. He had a tough road. Shipwrecked. Received the stripes of Jesus, was back, save one, three times, three different occasions. Beaten and shipwrecked and was persecuted for the sake of the gospel. God brought him. Now if somebody has said to you, brother, if you don't do it, God will get somebody else to take your place. Don't you believe that. Do not believe that. The Lord loves you. The Lord wants you to. If God has put in your heart to do something, he wants you to do it. But you just need to wait on the Lord for the perfect will of God. And God will show you clearly. Let's come and seek the Lord tonight. Thank you.